Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
a Boeing jet with more than 130 people on board reportedly crashes in China.
Ukraine rejects Russia's latest demands as the war nears the end of its first month.
President Biden hosts a call with European leaders to discuss the war.
And oil surges for a third day with no end to the war in sight.
Confirmation hearings begin today for President Biden's Supreme Court nominee, plus Justice Clarence Thomas is hospitalized. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NCAA tournament field trimmed to 16. A win for the Rangers, losses for the Islanders and Knicks.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving a touch lower to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 6.5 points. Dow futures down 91. NASDAQ futures are lower by 60. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32nds. Yield 2.18%. Yield on the 2-year 1.97%. NYMEX crude up 4.5% or $4.71 at $109.41 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $19.31.50 an ounce. John.
And Nathan, we're going to have more on the markets in a minute, but first we have breaking news out of Asia. There are reports of a commercial plane crash in China. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr is joining us live with the very latest. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, John. Chinese media reports a Boeing 737NG carrying 133 passengers has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows the China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was heading toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Chinese state TV says a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. So far, China Eastern and Boeing have not been available for comment. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. John.
Right, thanks, Michael. Shares of Boeing down 6% in early trading following that reported crash. Of course, we're going to bring you the latest details all morning right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Of course we will, John. In the meantime, we continue to shift our focus to the war in Ukraine. As intense attacks continue, Ukraine is rejecting Russia's demand to surrender Mariupol. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
The Kremlin had said that if that was done, it would open humanitarian lanes. Ukraine said no, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the Russians may not be able to take Mariupol.
They haven't taken it yet, and we've seen in the past that the Ukrainians have counterattacked, that they've used their initiative to move things around on the battlefield, and they presented some significant problems for the Russians.
Meanwhile, more U.S. weaponry is expected to arrive in the next few days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is asking for more help. He addressed Israel's parliament, calling out hesitancy to provide military aid and join in international sanctions against Moscow.
Could you explain why we are still appealing to the world and many countries appealing to you for help? Is it indifference, calculation, or mediation without choosing side? I leave it to you to choose the answer to this question. I only note one thing, that indifference kills.
Ukrainian President Zelensky has renewed his offer to negotiate with Russia's Vladimir Putin. An aide to Zelensky says Moscow is starting to use more destructive artillery in its attacks.
Well, President Biden heads to Brussels for a NATO summit this week, John. But before that trip, he talks with European and UK leaders this morning. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden's talk with the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and the UK is set for 11 this morning, Wall Street time. While in Europe, the president is also expected to visit Warsaw, where he'll meet with Poland's president, Andrzej Duda. Sources tell Bloomberg that later today, senior U.S. officials, including Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, will meet with executives in the energy, refining, financial services, and manufacturing sectors. Leaders from ExxonMobil, JPMorgan Chase, and other firms are expected expected to attend the off-the-record discussion about the global push to sanction Russia, upending supply chains and exacerbating inflationary pressures. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Russia has begun using hypersonic missiles against Ukraine. It's a shift in strategy that may signal a new phase of the war. Analysts expect more air power to be used as the Russian ground campaign stalls. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is also worried about chemical weapons.
We know that Russia has used chemical agents in Europe before against their own political opponents, and Russia has been facilitating, supporting the Assad regime in Syria, where chemical weapons has been used. So this is something we take extremely serious.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, with no end to the war in sight, John, oil is surging for a third day. Attacks by Iranian-backed rebels on energy facilities in Saudi Arabia are also adding to upward pressure. Crude has rallied almost 14% since Wednesday. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's up 4.7% or $4.93 at $109.63 a barrel. Brent is up 4.5% at $112.68.
And as crude climbs, inflation remains front and center. Today, Jay Powell gets another chance to weigh in on the matter. The Fed chair makes remarks and answers questions at an economics conference in Washington. Critics like former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers say the central bank needs to hike rates more aggressively.
We've got to raise interest rates by more than 4 percentage points. We got to raise them by 4% to stay neutral. We probably have to raise them more than that. So I think ultimately we're going to need a 4 or 5% interest rates, levels they're not even thinking of as conceivable.
The former Treasury Secretary and Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers was a guest on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week, heard weekdays on Bloomberg Radio and Television. And stay tuned for those remarks from Jay Powell. We're going to bring those to you live coming up just before 1 p.m. Wall Street time.
All right, on the corporate front this morning, John, some Merger Monday news. Private equity firm Thoma Bravo has agreed to buy San Francisco-based software company Anaplan in a deal valued at $10.7 billion. Anaplan shares are up more than 26% in early trading.
Nathan, thanks. 5:07 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to begin its historic confirmation hearings today for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. The 51-year-old federal judge would be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. Jackson is expected to present an opening statement, then answer questions from the committee's 11 Democrats and 11 Republicans over the next 2 days. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he is keeping an open mind.
I'm going to listen to the hearings, and by the way, she'll be treated much better than Democrats are typically treated Republican nominees like Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh.
Senator McConnell spoke on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas remains hospitalized with flu-like symptoms. According to the Supreme Court, Thomas is being treated with antibiotics for an infection and is resting comfortably. The new subvariant of the coronavirus has the attention of the nation's top infectious disease doctor. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the new coronavirus BA2 subvariant is about 50 to 60% more transmissible than Omicron.
It does have an increased transmission capability. However, when you look at the cases, they do not appear to be any more severe.
Dr. Fauci says that's the good news, but he warns BA2 could lead to an increase in COVID cases in the weeks ahead. Overall, sickness and hospitalizations have dropped to pre-pandemic levels. Fauci spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays right here on Bloomberg. Fans, welcome back the Cinderella team of the men's NCAA tournament. Jersey City's St. Peter's University got a hero's welcome when they returned Sunday.
Everyone as a Peacock Nation is like, this is crazy because we're such a small school.
Over the weekend, the 15th seed advanced to the Sweet 16. Peacocks guard Daryl Banks.
This feels amazing, you know, just growing up, wanting to play basketball, this is kind of the moments that you live for, that you dream of.
Guard Daryl Banks and his St. Peter's teammates now take on Purdue this Friday. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. is coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now, the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The NCAA tournament field down to the Sweet 16, and it includes Duke. Mike Krzyzewski's coaching career not over yet. Blue Devils pulled away late to beat Michigan State.
You don't go to those Sweet 16s just with talent. You do it with character. And that's what my teams have had. But it's not like I've given them that. You know, we've recruited that, and we've made use of it.
Coach K and Duke now headed out to San Francisco to play Texas Tech, who got by Notre Dame. A 2-seed went down last night. Auburn lost to Miami. A 1-seed nearly went down, but Arizona survived in overtime over TCU. 11-seeded Iowa State is moving on. The Cyclones went 2-22 last year. Also advancing, Villanova, Houston, and Purdue. Purdue is next for Cinderella St. Peter's, and that game is Friday night in Philadelphia. At the Garden, the Knicks had recent wins over Portland and Washington. Utah, much better team. Jazz came in and won 108-93. Donovan Mitchell, 36 points. R.J. Barrett led the Knicks with 24. What a weekend for the Rangers. Road wins at Tampa Bay, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, and then first place Carolina. It was 2-0. With backup goalie Alex Gorgiev getting 44 saves in the shutout goals by Chris Kreider, his 41st, and recent Ranger pickup Frank Vatrano. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 2-1. Red Sox signed free agent shortstop Trevor Story. They plan to use him at second base, put up big numbers with Colorado, where the numbers tend to inflate, but he's got plenty of power. He's at 37 and 35 home run seasons. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Futures right now, after last week's gains, they're in the red this morning. The Dow futures down 112 points. That's a decline of about 0.3%. S&P E-mini futures 9 points lower. That's down 0.2%. And ahead of the cash open, the NASDAQ E-mini futures 63 points lower this morning. That's down about 0.5%. As we look at Treasuries, the 10-year yield this morning, it's up 3 basis points, 2.18%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today from Gary Bass. Sunshine, the high temperature about 60 degrees. Could see some showers after midnight tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high temperature about 60 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures, European equities are wavering as crude oil extends a climb and investors monitor diplomatic efforts to bring an end to Russia's nearly month-old war in Ukraine. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures are down 95. NASDAQ futures are lower by 57 points. European stocks very slightly in the green right now, with the DAX in Germany little change, the CAC in Paris higher by 0.1%, the FTSE in London up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury right now is down 0.3, the yield 2.18%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 1.98%. NYMEX crude, as we mentioned, was surging up 3.9%, or $4.13 at $108.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% at $19.29.50 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Chinese media reports a Boeing 737 NG carrying 130 passengers has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows the China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. Chinese state TV reports that a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. Ukrainian officials have defiantly rejected a Russian demand that their forces in Mariupol lay down arms and raise white flags in exchange for safe passage. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to begin its historic confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. The 51-year-old federal judge would be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. College basketball, the men's NCAA Sweet 16 is set. Duke, Kansas, and Villanova advanced yesterday. NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Capitals lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks very much. 5:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. And this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We do have those reports on that commercial passenger plane crash in China. Word on that coming through in just the past hour. Late-breaking story still developing, and let's find out what we know right now from Bloomberg's Will Davies. He joins us from Hong Kong. Will, what can you tell us?
Yeah, morning, John. It's still a developing situation, obviously, but what we know so far is that a China Eastern Airlines Boeing aircraft that was flying from Kunming to Guangzhou in the south of China has crashed. There were 123 passengers and 9 crew on board. There's some footage emerging online, video showing a fiery scenes on the mountainside. The reports are the plane went down in a place called Wuzhou. The Chinese aviation regulator is sending in a team to probe, see what's happened. But we haven't heard directly from the airlines yet. China Eastern's website has gone to black and white as a sort of acknowledgement of something that's happened. And the flight radar, those sort of websites are showing that it took a steep descent. This plane a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, an investigation about to start. And a lot of people don't know, but with investigations like this involving Boeing aircraft, the lead investigators usually are actually investigators from the Boeing company itself. Do we know anything more about the plane other than it's a 737? The exact model we're told is NG, so not a 737, not a MAX.
No. So the MAX isn't actually approved for commercial flights in China yet. It's one of the last main holdouts. And that's been an issue for Boeing because China's obviously a huge market. It's its biggest market. And even Boeing has to sort of plan its production ramp-ups based on its access to China's market. And China was the first to ground the MAX in March 2019 after the crash in Ethiopia. And it was approaching. There was talk that, reports that we've reported on that it was going to be cleared very soon. So this was not a MAX, but it was a six-year-old 737-800NG. It's obviously a tragedy, and it's another setback for Boeing. It's come at a bad time, and even sending over investigators, I'm sure they'll make allowances, but, you've got the COVID issues. It's hard to even get into China at the moment, and the travel around is hard, but the investigation will need to be done, but another major setback for Boeing.
Do we know how old this particular model of aircraft is? And tell me again the operator, and do we also know the region where it crashed? Is it a particularly remote area of China, do you know?
Yeah, it's in Guangxi province, which is south. It's southwest of China. It's Kunming. It was from Kunming, which is the capital of Yunnan. It's a sort of very large province in the southwest. So from the scenes, it looks like the video coming through is a remote mountain area, rural area, vast landscape over in that part of the world. Heading to Guangzhou, one of the, major Chinese city. This was operated by China Eastern Airlines, which is based out of Shanghai. It's one of the big three airlines in China, along with Air China and China Southern. China's had a good reputation on air safety. It's something it takes great pride in. It hasn't had the last crash was there in 2010. And China Eastern, its last sort of fatal crash anyway, was in 2004 in Inner Mongolia in the north. So, this is real shocking development, really, because China hasn't really had many safety issues with the aviation industry, as you would sort of alluded to with the Boeing MAX, how long it's taken to get that back in the air, whereas that's been approved elsewhere. China was the first to ground that, and it remains to be seen if the regulators or the government will ground other Boeing planes following this particular crash. We don't know that yet, but we'll keep an eye on that.
All right, Will, thanks very much. Bloomberg's Will Davies joining us from Hong Kong this morning. Again, a China Eastern Airlines Boeing 737-800NG plane, 132 people on board has crashed in the southwestern western province there in China. Will, thanks very much. We appreciate it. It is 5:25 right here on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's shift our attention now to the latest developments on the war in Ukraine. Ukraine rejecting a Russian demand that its forces lay down their arms and leave Mariupol today. Let's get an update right now. We're joined by Rosalind Matheson, Bloomberg's executive editor for international government. What do we know what's taking place on the ground right now, Roz? Can you give us an update?
Well, what we're seeing is that the city of Mariupol is remaining under siege. It is arguably the city that's suffering the most right now in Ukraine, with humanitarian aid really struggling to get in and people struggling to get out. So Russia gave the city an ultimatum yesterday and said if all its troops and weapons leave, they will allow aid to come in and people safe passage out. Ukraine has rejected that, and that deadline expired this morning.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager along with John Tucker, and we are about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. So let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning with the breaking news out of Asia, reports of a commercial plane crash in China. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Chinese media reports Boeing 737NG carrying 132 passengers has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows the China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Chinese state television says a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. Live in New York, I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. We now turn to the latest developments on the war in Ukraine. Ukraine rejecting a Russian demand that its forces lay down their arms and leave the city of Mariupol. More talks expected later today. Yesterday, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed Israel's parliament, calling out hesitancy to provide military aid and join international sanctions.
Could you explain why we are still appealing to the world and many countries appealing to you for help? Is it indifference, calculation, or mediation without choosing side? I leave it to you to choose the answer to this question. I only note one thing, that indifference kills.
Ukrainian President Zelensky renewing his offer to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. An aide to Zelensky says Moscow has started using more destructive artillery in its attacks.
That artillery includes hypersonic missiles, John, and analysts say that marks a shift in strategy, with Russia using more air power as its ground campaign stalls. Lloyd Austin is the U.S. Defense Secretary.
I would not see it as a game changer. Again, the reason that he's resorting to using these types of weapons is because he's trying to reestablish some momentum.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
And coming up today, President Biden speaks with European leaders ahead of his trip to the continent this week. Senior U.S. officials also meet with executives from ExxonMobil, J.P. Morgan, and other firms to discuss the impact of sanctions.
And traders are also looking out for a speech today from Fed Chair Jay Powell. He will make remarks and answer questions at an economics conference in Washington. We'll bring that to you live. That's coming up around 1 p.m. Wall Street time. Ahead of the market open this morning, futures are moving lower, with S&P futures now down 3 points, Dow futures down 75, NASDAQ futures on the decline by 43 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 11/32, the yield 2.19%, yield on the 2-year 1.98. NYMEX crude up 3.7% or $3.82 at $108.52 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.60 at $19.28.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1060 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr again with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The confirmation hearings for President Biden's first Supreme Court nominee are scheduled to get underway today. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is the first black woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court. Republican Senator John Barrasso.
We're going to have a fair process and a respectful process, unlike what the Democrats did to Justice Kavanaugh.
Republican Senator Josh Hawley last week tried to discredit Jackson in a barrage of tweets saying she was soft on crime. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says that Hawley's claims have been fact-checked and discredited. saying Hawley's base is far from centrist.
He's part of a fringe within the Republican Party. This was the man who was fist-bumping the murderous mob that descended on the Capitol.
Senators Durbin and Barrasso spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. We're learning that Justice Clarence Thomas was hospitalized with flu-like symptoms and treated with intravenous antibiotics for an infection. The Supreme Court said the 73-year-old justice's symptoms have eased and he is resting comfortably. Even with COVID cases down, U.S. health officials said that they are expecting more cases with the new BA2 variant, though a large surge is unlikely. Dr. Anthony Fauci says while the BA2 symptoms are not typically severe, it is even more contagious than its Omicron predecessor.
It's about 50 to 60% or so more transmissible, which means ultimately over time, it might take over as the dominant variant.
There have been more than 79 million cases of COVID in the U.S. alone and more than 971,000 deaths. The U.S. Marine Corps has identified the four Marines who died when their Osprey aircraft crashed Friday night in a Norwegian town in the Arctic Circle during a NATO exercise. All four were out of Marine Corps Air Station New River, North Carolina. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Some breaking news crossing the Bloomberg right now. Berkshire Hathaway buying Allegheny for $848.02 a share, a deal worth $11.6 billion. New York-based Allegheny operates in the property and casualty reinsurance and insurance business. It is now 5:36 on Wall Street. And it's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, John. NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 includes 3-1 seeds, 2-2s, 2-3s, and 3-4s, but it wasn't easy for many of the favorites, certainly not for top seed Arizona, who needed overtime to get by TCU, or for Duke, who beat Michigan State 85-76. It was closer than that. Blue Devils pulled away late, and the win means Mike Krzyzewski's coaching career not over yet. Duke now plays Texas Tech. Purdue beat Texas. Purdue is up next for St. Peter's. The Cinderella Peacocks going to have plenty of fan support on Friday. The game just down the road from Jersey City in Philadelphia. Wins last night for Miami and Iowa State, so they'll play each other Friday. That means a double-digit seed is guaranteed of being in the Elite Eight. The Knicks' slim playoff hopes took a hit, beaten by Utah at the Garden, 108-93. Donovan Mitchell scored 36 points. Second-place Rangers visited first-place Carolina. Game was scoreless, second period.
Rangers trying to center, but it kicks back out behind the net. Lafreniere to the far corner, climbs the blue line, gets it back out to the corner with a shot, deflection, and it's scored. And guess who in front of the net? It's Chris Kreider, his 41st goal of the year, and the Rangers get the 1-0 lead on just their eighth shot of the game.
WPN had to call Frank Vetrano, who the Rangers picked up last week at an empty netter. The Rangers won 2-0, 44 saves in the shutout for Alex Gorgiev, and the Rangers get their 40th win. They trail the Hurricanes by just 3 points. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 2-1. In Tampa, Yankees got a grand slam from Oswaldo Cabrera, but the Tigers with 4 in the ninth won 8-7. Luis Severino gave up 4, and so did David Peterson. The Mets lost to the Cardinals in Port St. Lucie. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Ed Khoury.
New York City's 7.6% unemployment rate is among the worst of major cities. It also lags behind northern New Jersey and Long Island. The jobless rate jumps to 11%, not seasonally adjusted in the Bronx. The highest of New York's five boroughs, it's even higher for black New Yorkers. A small fraction of the highest paid longshoremen jobs at the seaports of New York Harbor are given to blacks and Latinos. Only 16 of the 209 longshoremen who make at least $400,000 a year are black, and 9 others are Latino, according to salary records the Daily News obtained from the Waterfront Commission. The Lord and Taylor building in Eastchester is getting a new retail tenant. Saks Off Fifth is opening a new location in the now-closed Lord and Taylor space at 750 White Plains Road. Saks Off Fifth is an outlet store offering luxury brand clothing, accessories, and shoes at discounted rates. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Khoury.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38, Wall Street, Bloomberg Radio, on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how slow return to office plans and lagging entertainment industry are keeping the city's unemployment rate high.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The biggest oil field service providers are halting future work in Russia.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that the business software seller Anaplan is being snapped up by a private equity firm in an almost $11 billion deal.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting engineers are working on self-driving big rigs that can carry long-haul freight.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This week, the Senate Judiciary Committee holds hearings on the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Her selection fulfills a campaign pledge made by President Joe Biden to name the first black woman to the court. But Jackson would bring diversity to the bench in ways that go beyond race and gender. Not only would she be the first former public defender to sit on the high court, she'd be the first justice since Thurgood Marshall with a criminal defense background. At the same time, she's been praised by the Fraternal Order of Police, which speaks well of her record of maintaining balance. A substantive hearing focused on Jackson's record, rather than her identity, should allow the country to learn more about a distinguished jurist. Hopefully, it will also reveal a fresh perspective that the Supreme Court needs. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Terminal customers, read more at OPI and go. And the Bloomberg weather for today from Gary Best. Sunshine, the high temperature topping out at about 60 degrees. Maybe some showers after midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high temperature about 60 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are a little bit lower. European stocks are wavering. Crude oil is extending its rally as investors monitor diplomatic efforts to bring an end to Russia's nearly month-long war in Ukraine. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now are down 6 points. Dow futures down 97. NASDAQ futures leading the declines down 50 points. The DAX in Germany and the CAC in Paris are both little changed. The 10-year Treasury is down 10/32. The yield 2.18%. Yield on the 2-year 1.98. NYMEX crude up 3.4% or $3.51 at $108.21 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.40 at $19.28.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1062 against the dollar. The yen 119.23. Berkshire Hathaway has agreed to buy all outstanding Allegheny shares for $848.02 a share in cash. Transaction values the reinsurer at about $11.6 billion. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Chinese media reports a Boeing 737 NG carrying 132 passengers has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows the China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Joe Biden will speak with European leaders ahead of his trip to the continent this week. Meanwhile, shelling continued overnight with a large shopping center on the outskirts of Kyiv, killing at least 6 people. Ukraine rejected a Russian demand for its forces to lay down their arms and leave Mariupol. In college basketball, the men's NCAA Sweet 16 is set. Duke, Kansas, and Villanova advanced yesterday. In the NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, investors are looking at the diplomatic efforts to bring a war, bring an end to the war in Ukraine. Let's get you set up for the trading day ahead. We are joined now by Esty Dweck, the FloBank Chief Investment Officer. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning. You know, we have war, we have a Fed hiking cycle, we have inflation, and yet over the past few trading sessions, it's been a risk-on sentiment. Can you make sense of this for me?
Good morning. I think we had just gotten to the point where so much bad news was already priced in and technicals were turning favorable because there were not a lot of people long, because we were looking at really oversold conditions. And we got a couple of good headlines, a little more clarity from central banks, a lot of work from the Fed to try to re-anchor those inflation expectations, a little bit of hope, which might have been a bit premature on negotiations between Russia and the Ukraine. And then, of course, some reassurance from China on its regulatory crackdown and on support for the markets. And kind of you put all of those and that technical picture, and at some point the market was bound to recover.
Where do we go from here?
Well, I think today's looking a little more mixed. It depends a bit on your investment horizon. We're still not out of the woods on a number of these events. And obviously the situation with the Ukraine seems like it's going to last longer than people might have hoped. There's potentially a little more upside, but I think going through some of the more recent highs of the last couple of months might take a little bit longer. So it could stay choppy for a couple more months. But those lows seem to be holding, and I think that's a very encouraging sign for 6 or 9 or 12 months from now.
We've had healthcare and energy among the sectors that have been outperforming. How, if at all, has your investment thesis changed?
We haven't changed so much because we had something of a barbell approach. So we were overweight energy since last year, not at all expecting the conflict, but thinking that these companies had catch-up potential compared to oil prices even before this happened. We have the barbell approach, thinking that tech at some point growth is going to slow, and then you're going to want that more defensive nature, that quality, and those sustainable earnings. So maybe a little more selective on the tech side, but we've kept those. And we've seen so much movement in the markets basically since the invasion at the end of February. It hasn't felt that we really wanted to start playing around too much. We might look at adjusting at some point now, but again, positioning more for 3 to 6 months from now and staying constructive with our outlook.
After the meeting last week, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is speaking a little later today. Do you suppose he opens up any new doors?
You know, where we haven't had that much clarity yet is on the asset or on the balance sheet, although it does seem like there aren't going to be outright asset sales. It's really going to be about letting those reinvestments roll off and stopping that. One thing that we've heard a lot from the Fed, they weren't as explicit last week, but we could keep hearing about that. They always think in terms of inflation expectations remaining anchored, and it feels like those expectations came unanchored recently. The conflict certainly didn't help, and we're going to see a lot of work from the Fed to re-anchor those medium to long-term expectations. They know the short-term inflation picture is going to be higher for longer, and there's only so much you can do about it, right? Higher interest rates isn't going to help with food and energy prices given the current situation, but they want to re-anchor. They want to get that confidence from the market that they can tame inflation, and I would expect Powell to mention that again.
In just about 20 seconds, the yield curve flattening, and necessarily, is that an indication of recession risk being raised?
I think all of the QE and the intervention from central banks has changed that as an indicator. It would be one more in a list of negatives for markets, but it doesn't necessarily mean a recession is coming, and I certainly don't think the U.S. is facing a recession this year.
Esty, always a pleasure. Esty Dweck, FloBank's Chief Investment Officer. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We're coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report and a legal story we're watching this morning. The prosecution is coming to the end of its case against former Goldman Sachs banker Roger Ng. His prosecution is part of the firm's 1MDB scandal. Ng is accused of conspiring with his former boss, Tim Leissner, to help finance Joe Lowe, siphoning billions from a trio of bond deals the bank did for the sovereign wealth fund, one MDB. Leisner's pleaded guilty. He's the state's star witness against Ng. However, during his 10 days on the stand, Leisner admitted to a host of lies. Lies to his wives, to his business partners, and to his bosses. For more on the case, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Patricia Hurtado.
Pat, you need a scorecard to keep track of all Leisner's lies. The defense called him a rare and cunning liar. What was your impression of him?
Well, it's really rare you have a white-collar defendant who seems to be mired in duplicitous behavior. I don't know, there's another way of characterizing it. I mean, he has admitted to being a double bigamist. So he was twice married to two women at the same time. On direct, he told the prosecutor that he had faked divorces from two different women. The defense also showed how he created a fake email account and posed as his current wife at the time to converse with his future wife, who turns out to be the former fashion model, Kimora Lee Simmons. And it's quite extraordinary that somebody was able to pose as his wife for years in this fake relationship. And he's also shown to use accounts created in his wife's name to create a bunch of shell companies to which he funneled and shuffled money around. And he's accused of being involved in this massive foreign bribery case involving one MDB, the Malaysian Sovereign Wealth Fund. So you have this massive fraud that's the center of the case, but then you also have a flawed cooperating witness that has a lot of baggage and a lot of explaining to do, and the defense has exploited that.
What the defense seems to be hoping for here is jury nullification. You know, the jury saying, hey, the two other guys in this scheme did far worse things. The guy on the stand, Tim Leisner, has made a deal with the government, and the other guy, J-Lo, has disappeared into the ether, and no one is prosecuting him. So Ng's the fall guy here, and it would be unfair to convict him.
Well, that's definitely the defense's story. This is the wrong guy. Roger's just here. Just because you're present at a scene of a crime doesn't mean you're participating in the crime. It's in how the jury's going to view Leisner in the context of who's really moving this fraud along. Is it really Leisner that's the main mover with Roger tagging along? And we have so many problems weighing Leisner's version of events, which seem a little shaky, that we may decide, you know, how are we going to hold him responsible for this guy that's the main mover? And the defense has argued that basically Leisner is implicating Roger to get off and get a more lenient sentence. So it remains to be seen whether or not the jury believes this.
That's Bloomberg legal reporter Patricia Hurtado speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Right now, S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 99, NASDAQ futures down 49 points. 10-year Treasury's down 9/32, the yield 2.18%. NYMEX crude up 3.4% at $108.23 a barrel. Bitcoin trading right now just shy of $41,300. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. We'll check our top stories of the morning straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.